Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Already into week two. Week two of the NFL season, and it only took one quarter for the bar to be set really high. One quarter for one player to dazzle us. That's one of the things I love about the NFL. There's always the potential, and we get it multiple times a weekend, usually. One player, whether it's an elite player or whether it's a guy who surprises us and comes out of quote unquote nowhere. Obviously, all of these guys get paid to play football, so they all have the ability and the skills to be able to rack up the stats or to impact a game if they don't happen to be guys who get stats and show up on a stat line. But we always get these performances that wow us, take our breath away, cause our jaws to drop open. I could use a bunch of different phrases to describe it. And on Thursday night, it took us a couple of minutes and a quarter, really, to recognize that it was another special performance, not just for the NFL, but for AJ Green. You know, the first time in his career that he's ever scored three touchdowns in a quarter, as accomplished as he is. And as much as the Ravens had to know that he was going to be the focal point of Andy Dalton and the Bengals offense, the Bill Lazor offense, as much as he had to know that they had to know that, he still was able to make some incredible plays. First touchdown, he's leading the DB around on a rope. I mean, fake this way, turn on the afterburners, go back to the right along the back of the end zone. DB's trailing behind. It was like he was pulling him in a wagon. Come with me. And it was a perfectly delivered ball by Andy Dalton. Second touchdown, what did we get? Well, this time, somehow AJ snatches the ball away in the midst of a bunch of white shirts. And then is able to wriggle out of or peel out of a would-be tackle and take the perfect angle away from the defense and into the end zone. And we talked about this on last night's show and with a recent guest about how AJ is coming into this season, and it goes back to the offseason. In fact, it goes back to the end of last year. The Bengals not making the playoffs again, and Green feeling like he didn't have the impact that he wanted, and recommitting himself. Stronger, more focused, determined. This is a year in which he wanted to go back to really making an impact, to being an elite wide receiver. And we got to see that, not just in this particular quarter, but also in the first game in which the Bengals won over the Colts. Now they are 2-0. It doesn't really mean anything except for they've started out with two wins. Okay, so let's not read into it. However, did you know last year 9 teams started out 0-2 and only one of them made the playoffs? And historically, going back to 1990, of the teams that start out 0-2, 88% of them failed to make the postseason. So it's a credible weekend. Alert. And the numbers for 2-0 teams, they're not quite as gaudy. But man alive, when you're still trying to get into a groove, when you're still trying to figure things out, when you know, you're getting more and more reps together, and you're playing on a short work week like the Bengals and the Ravens, you want to take that win and get the heck out of Dodge. So the Bengals are now 2-0. They put themselves up by 3 touchdowns early, and they're able to hold off because of their defense, harassing Joe Flacco every time he tried to pass. 12 passes defensed, 8 quarterback hits. That defensive line for the Bengals was monstrous. And then in hot pursuit, pretty much every time he didn't get rid of the ball immediately. As for Joe Flacco, 3 turnovers. And it seemed like every time they would grab the momentum or look like they might be putting together a drive or be on the verge of taking control of the game, or with the last turnover, just needing to keep the ball because they were down to their last opportunity, only trailing by a possession, down to their last opportunity, and the Bengals D in hot pursuit, catching up with Flacco from behind and knocking the ball away. So for the Bengals, a total team win that starts out with the exclamation point of amazing AJ and finishes with another takeaway. And for the Baltimore Ravens, I'm sure nobody thought it was going to be as easy as it looked against the Buffalo Bills in the pouring down rain. And it wasn't. That offensive line really struggled against the front of the Bengals, the defensive front. So back to the drawing board. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's our final show of the work week. One game into the NFL weekend. What's the game you're most looking forward to? It is my stated goal. There's a lot of games. But it's my stated goal to give a couple of keys to each of the games that we've got coming up this weekend. But I'd love to hear from you, too. And we'll put a poll out there. It's really suggestions only. But we'll put a poll out there so that you can tell us which game you're most looking forward to. It was a poll that you really enjoyed to start out the season. So we'll try to pick. The problem is there are so many good divisional matchups. And as I said, you've got some teams that are in danger of falling into an 0-2 hole. 9 of them last year, only the New Orleans Saints were able to rally and make the playoffs. So it's critical for those teams that lost their season opener. And we know every single one of the new NFL head coaches lost their openers. And so it's a big weekend for a lot of reasons. Teams are looking for palpable progress. They're looking to make big steps. They're looking to improve on what they did last week, even if they did get a win. And so we got a lot to choose from, a lot of good drama. I'm hoping the games are even better. Last week was awesome. I'm hoping the games are even better. So which one are you most looking forward to? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then you can find our Facebook page easily as well. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And then our phone number we'll throw out there so that those of you who have really expensive cell phones can use it. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Some guy on our Facebook page got really mad at me because I said I wouldn't spend the kind of money that he did on his cell phone. And he got all upset, defensive. Why are you judging me?
He's an idiot.
And then within a couple of minutes after I laughed at him, he deleted the whole post. I mean, you're supposed to think before you post, then you don't have to worry about deleting it.
You're kidding.
I'm not. I try to recommend that all the time. Breathe, think, breathe, walk away, put down the phone. Even if it is really expensive, you can walk away for a second and then consider it. Maybe read it out loud. That's another suggestion. Read your tweets and your Facebook posts out loud to someone else before you post them. And if they laugh in your face or if they have a look on their face that says, well, then maybe take some friendly advice. All right, so those are our different social media platforms, plus our phone number. lots of reaction coming out of Cincinnati. And so I want you to hear from Marvin Lewis, who sounds so confident. I wonder if he ever gets nervous about his job. I'm sure there are times when he's wondered if he would keep his job, but nervous about it? I don't know. He sounds confident. Dalton sounds really confident. And going back to the preseason, as much as most teams really held their ones out and didn't get a lot of practice together, reps together in games. Now, of course, they were working together in the training camp, but in actual preseason games against other competition, it was really sparse, spotty when it came to the starters and the guys who, you know, veterans wanting to be careful about injuries. But the times that I watched the Bengals in the preseason, they really looked fluid. And I felt like they were more determined, as we've heard a couple of times from their locker room, they were more determined to continue the momentum that they had built up at the end of last season. So a couple of wins, including the victory over the Ravens in Baltimore that knocked their AFC North rival out of the playoffs. Right? So you had that game in week 17 on New Year's Eve, and they wanted to continue that momentum and not allow that to wane. And that's a hard thing to do when guys go away, when guys spend time with their families and they only come together for voluntary workouts, for OTAs, a couple times during the spring and the early summer. But a bunch of guys said they wanted to make sure that those two games at the end of last season were not a waste. No, they didn't make the postseason, but they felt like they did good work. And now here they are, through training camp and preseason, in which it seemed like they were maybe steps ahead of other teams offensively, not to mention, of course, that defensive line just looked good. And now here they are at 2-0. I think that'll build confidence. It's helpful that you come out of the gate with confidence, because some teams have to build it, have to work on it. And so we'll hear from Marvin Lewis, Andy Dalton, of course, Joe Flacco, after the three turnovers and the other shoe dropping. So if you're thinking about week one and week two as a pair of feet, well, week one couldn't have been any better. Week two, the other shoe dropped. The other cleat dropped. But it's just 2 weeks. No need to panic over anything that's happened 2 weeks into the season. Except, of course, if you've lost your starting quarterback or another one of your really important players. Your you know, star players. That would be the only reason that I would suggest you panic right now. Otherwise, it's week two. All right, so what are the games you're most looking forward to this weekend? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And then our Facebook page, too. We'll put a poll up very soon. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. In addition, a really classy move by the New York Mets. This is an organization. You want to talk about much maligned. And a lot of it's self-imposed by the front office. And the latest in the drive for the playoffs on the baseball diamond. And we've got a couple of candidates for Facepalm Friday, because it's our final show of the work week, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
So why?
Why? Well, Terry, because it's week two of the football season, and that means a second shot at victory. Hit the reset button. Let's try this again. Bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs all season at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. And this weekend, DraftKings has over $2 million in total prizes. You can play free with your first deposit. With one-week fantasy at DraftKings, you choose when to play. You can draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment. I recommend picking up AJ Green. Oh, wait, you're too late. Just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and watch the points pile up. No matter what your skill level, even my mom can do it. There's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. Nothing makes Football Sunday more exciting than when you have a DraftKings lineup on the line. So download the app or go to DraftKings.com now. Use my name, Amy, to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and then compete for your share of over $2 million in total prizes. That's code Amy, A-M-Y, only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Extra offensive lineman, second and goal from the four. They flood the left side with three receivers. Dalton, pump fake there. Bootleg to the right. Throwing back at the end zone. Caught by Green. Touchdown. A strike by Dalton to the right corner. Green wide open. The Bengals on the board first. Dalton throws into heavy traffic. Caught at the 25. Breaking free to the 15. Near side. A.J. Green. He takes it all the way for the touchdown. Dalton to Green again. Dalton from the gun. He's got Bernard parallel to his right. Dalton takes the snap. Dalton looking. Dalton zings it to the end zone. Far side. It's caught. Touchdown. Number three. A hat trick for A.J. Green. They can't stop the combination. Dalton to Green. And the Bengals are blowing out Baltimore.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I an eagle on Westwood One. A.J. Green was the one-handed, no, not one-handed, one man. That would be impressive. One man wrecking ball in the first quarter for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I got to tell you, I was eating my dinner. Well, my lunch, I guess. I was eating my lunch, your dinner, during the first quarter of the game. And I realized I had this gripping fear. In fact, all of a sudden, I felt really cold. Oh my gosh. What if I am playing a team in fantasy that has A.J. Green on its roster? And as I tweeted, I'm going to go ahead and enjoy this game and enjoy my dinner. I refuse to check and see if A.J. Green is on the opponent's roster for my matchup this week. Uh-oh. I didn't want to ruin my nice Thursday evening. Thankfully, neither A.J. Green nor Andy Dalton is starting for the guy that I'm playing this weekend. Isaac, are we playing each other? I'm just going to ask you every week.
No idea.
Oh, of course not. Have you even looked at your roster since we started?
Not this week.
What if you had a guy that was on the field tonight? Don't you want to know?
I did have A.J. Green last year, which I dropped. But as far as that, I don't think so.
I don't think so. This is why Isaac never survives when it comes to Survivor Island pools, because he just doesn't think about it. That's okay. It's more room for those few hundred of you that are left out of 1,500. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, Ian Eagle with the calls from Thursday Night Football on the Westwood One Radio Network. Which game are you most looking forward to this weekend? As I told you, we're having a real hard time putting together a poll with just four games because there are so many good matchups, especially intra-divisional matchups this weekend, and this was one of those. Inside the AFC North, early supremacy. It's oh so early. Inside the AFC North, but I think it helps that the other two teams that were not on the field tonight had a tie in week one, which means if you take care of your business, they can't catch you in the division.
We came out hot, and exactly how we wanted to start the game. And so, big win for us. I mean, to put us 2-0, start the year. We got a leg up in the division, which is good. So, it was exactly what we wanted to do.
Andy Dalton, 24 of 42 for 265 yards and four touchdowns. 4 touchdowns. I just saw a nerd alert. Thankfully, NFL Research puts out all kinds of cool nuggets, the kind that float my boat. And so when it comes to Andy Dalton and his 4 touchdown passes, the last time that an NFL quarterback threw 4 touchdown passes in the first half of a game was Matt Ryan, week 17 of 2016, right? So not last year, but a full season plus ago.
Nerd alert.
Do you know what else happened that season with Matt Ryan? He won the NFL's MVP award. Now, I don't know that Andy Dalton is going to be in the MVP conversation. I'm just saying is all. So while Dalton and AJ Green were making Bengals fans giddy in the first quarter, the Ravens had 1 first down and 1 interception and no points. They rallied well. I mean, they were within a score in the fourth quarter a couple of times. Just those dang turnovers. And so again, Dalton, 265 yards and 4 touchdowns, while Joe Flacco had 55 pass attempts. Now, again, they were trying to come back for a good portion of this game because they got down by 3 touchdowns early. But 376 yards for him, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 1 fumble that sealed their fate in the fourth quarter.
We just got to keep our heads up and keep believing in what we're building around here. This is an NFL, you know, this is the NFL. You're not promised anything in this league. We know that. We fought tonight.
I know that generally among football fans, there isn't a whole lot of belief in the Bengals, in Andy Dalton, in Marvin Lewis, and with good reason. Over the last few playoff appearances, people get excited, and then it's a major letdown. So I get it. Alan sends me this tweet, A-Law Radio. We will see about the Bengals until I see them finally win a playoff game. Then I will be impressed. He says the last time they won a playoff game, Boomer Esiason was the quarterback. Boom! No, not like boom, but like boom!
This is Boomer Esiason.
Yeah, that boom. Completely different than boom. Although, that is kind of cool. I wonder if he turns his head or like starts every time he thinks or every time he hears us say boom.
Boom.
Exactly. Do you think he's like, what? It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So I get it. I get that people aren't willing to give a whole lot of credence or believe in the Bengals until they take that to the next level, until their regular season success, when they have it, translates to the playoffs. I totally get it. And so again, nobody's rushing to put Andy Dalton into the MVP category. However, when this guy's right, and he's got a bunch of different targets, a bunch of different weapons, Tyler Boyd, John Ross, they're both trying to find their roles in this offense. A healthy Tyler Eifert, even though he is limited, apparently they haven't won a pitch count. They're keeping him to between 25 to 40 snaps per game to try to keep him as healthy as possible because he does have a bulky back. But if you consider those targets and then add Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard into the mix, you're talking about a bunch of different ways that they can hurt you. And I'm just mentioning a few, some of the names that you know. And so maybe you don't have to give them credit yet, but at least recognize that the work they put in the offseason and training camp exhibition has translated into some fluid offense early. We know what the defense was. We watched it. And that Andy Dalton is playing well right now.
You know, we caught the ball today. I think we only had dropped 1 drop, if I recall. And that was big. And so that was key. You know, Andy directed the offense. We went in and out of the different tempo stuff tonight and, kind of tried to keep them back on their heels.
one of the benefits of having a veteran at quarterback and an offense that's got some pieces who've been around together, and I don't mean all of them, but a few of them who've worked together for quite a while, and I believe it was AJ's first touchdown in which Joe Buck mentioned that it was his 54th thrown to him from Andy Dalton. I think it was the first one, which would mean now he's got 56. We're talking about a lot of familiarity, and it helps. It helps because you can dial up some difficulty. You can, as Marvin Lewis talks about, change speeds and make it a little more complicated, a higher degree of difficulty. You're not having to keep it extremely simple because it's guys that are new to the offense. And right now, it looks fluid. That's the word that keeps coming to my mind. The last time that the Cincinnati Bengals won a playoff game was 1990. Well, it was the 1990 playoffs. It was early 1991. It frustrates me so badly that the NFL does that. Can we just change the calendar already? Yes, it was the 1990 season, January of the following year, and they won their wild card game against the Houston Oilers. 41-14. Too bad they couldn't have saved some of that. Haven't won since then. But they made the playoffs in 05, 09, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. So they made the playoffs in that stretch there, five consecutive years, not since then. They started out 2-0. It guarantees you nothing, but it's better than being 0-2. All right, coming up, we'll dive into some of the other games on the schedule. So let me know which ones you're most looking forward to for this NFL weekend. We do have our poll up. You can find that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I will retweet in a sec when I'm not talking. Sometimes it's hard to do social media and talk at the same time. And then our Facebook page, you've got the opportunity to submit your own game there. Write in votes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's a 3rd and 10 for Baltimore at its own 25. Flacco out of the gun, rolling to his right, a moving pocket. Flacco gets hammered from behind. Sean Williams knocks it free. The ball is loose. Both teams trying to pounce on it. Cincinnati's got it. The Bengals recover at the 28-yard line. They will peel off the pile, and Dre Kirkpatrick at the bottom of it for Cincinnati.
It wasn't pretty. And we didn't come out with the win, which is the most important thing. But this is a long season, and we got to keep our heads up and be positive about who we are as a football team. Because I think we got a really good football team. I think guys reacted really well to what happened tonight. But in the end, that doesn't matter. We just got to move on to the next week and make it happen.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
No team starts the season ready to win a championship, whether it's a Super Bowl, whether it's a World Series, whether it's the college football playoff. No team, if you're a good team with good leadership and solid coaching, no team stays where it is. Either you regress, maybe through injuries or because your locker room is fractured or because things just aren't working and your chemistry falls apart. I mean, a lot of that depends on your leadership. Or you move forward. You get better. You learn from your mistakes. I believe that the Baltimore Ravens have that potential. One thing that stood out to me about Baltimore in this game is, once again, the way that Flacco distributed the ball to so many different receivers. And the fact that he was able to use so many pieces of the offense. And I'm impressed that after falling behind 21-0, and then I think they're also behind 28-7, they were still able to make this a one-score ball game. You can pretty much point to the turnovers. They only gave up 2 field goals to Cincinnati in the fourth quarter. They were able to get a couple of touchdowns in the second quarter, which kind of made it feel better going into the locker room. And if not for the 2 turnovers in the second half, well, then maybe this is entirely different. But what it did, of course, was nip those drives in the bud, cut them short, and give the ball back to Cincinnati. Now, Cincinnati got shut out in the third quarter. And so a lot of what we'd seen in the first half wasn't carried over. 28 points in the first half. I get it. That's a lot. Maybe not going to happen every time you step on the field. But AJ Green was noting after the game that, hey, in the past, more recently, we would have folded at the end of the game instead of closing this one out.
In a lot of games last year, we lost down the stretch in the fourth quarter. And tonight, man, we had a crucial drive. Couldn't even do anything last in the third quarter. But when we really needed it, we went down there. I guess we had the ball for like 7 minutes and got a field goal.
He is correct. So they got the ball back on an interception by Joe Flacco. It was a ball in which he got hit by Carlos Dunlap. Dunlap's roaring in from the right side. And Flacco had to see him there. There's no way that he didn't know this guy was coming at him. And it chooses a high degree of difficulty throw toward the, well, it was downfield. I don't know if it was supposed to go toward the middle of the field or not, because Dunlap hit his arm. But it was this high degree of difficulty throw. Plus, he's got a defensive lineman who's about to knock him. And he throws it anyway, and it essentially turns into a grab bag. Hey, who wants it? So that was an interception by Flacco in the second half, and instead of doing something with it, the Bengals only managed one first down and had to punt. And when they gave the ball back to the Ravens put together a 12-play, 87-yard drive and pulled within a touchdown, 28-23. And what AJ Green is referring to is that they get the ball back. Instead of folding, instead of freaking out, instead of getting nervous, they go back to work and they hold the ball for more than 6.5 minutes, 10 plays, 65 yards for a field goal that at least then would require the Ravens to have a touchdown and a 2-point conversion to be able to tie in the time that was left. And then, of course, they forced the fumble and attack on a field goal, and that's all she wrote. Or all he wrote. I don't really know why it's all she wrote. She is a good writer, I'm sure, but he can be too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I know, I'm weird. It's the end of the work week, and I had a really annoying afternoon with my bits of technology. Oh my gosh, so sometimes I don't like to be attached to my TV. When there's a game going on, there are times when I want to be in other parts of the house, and so I put the game on my radio, and I have Sirius XM on my phone, and I also have it in my car, but I have it on my phone so that I can pull it up on one of those Bose speakers. You know, with Wi-Fi, you can cast it to the speaker, and then I'm able to do other stuff, like get ready for work and blah, 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 whatever.
Sirius XM 206.
I should have been listening to that channel. I wasn't. Instead, I was trying to listen to the football game. So I'm going back and forth between Westwood One and the Bengals radio, Bengals and Ravens radio networks. And all of a sudden, the national feed turns into this awful talk show. I mean, it was awful. Now, I know some people think my talk show is awful. There was something wrong with the satellite, though, because they just kept saying the same 5 sentences over and over and over again. It was about fantasy, which annoys me anyway. And so the national feed disappears. Then the Ravens and the Bengals feed disappear, and all they do is tell me when the game's about to start. Then I thought, okay, well, I'll go back and I'll turn the game on TV again, fine, and I'll listen to a baseball game instead. Nope, baseball game did a time hop backwards 3 hours. So something happened. It was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. 3 hours just disappeared like that. Exactly. So believe you me, I sent a couple strongly worded tweets to Sirius XM and the NFL on Sirius XM, which, by the way, is ultimately under the control of our previous boss. The boss that I love, who now is there in charge of all the sports channels at Sirius XM. So you can believe that on Friday morning, I'll be sending him a personal email, because we're buds, so we might not be after this. And I'm going to ask him what happened. Hey, I pay so I can listen to play-by-play. This is another reason why I don't spend $1,100 on a phone or any kind of technology for that matter, because sometimes technology sucks. Sometimes it doesn't work. We're having that problem here at CBS Sports Radio, where we just got new, I'm using my air quotations, new computers, or they're not even like new computers. They're just new screens, right?
I'm not a science computer.
New monitors. And when they upgraded to the new monitors, not only did they not tell us it was happening, but it's completely thrown our audio out of whack.
That is weird.
And now every time we try to pull a baseball highlight, it sounds like it's in an echo chamber. And we tried to explain to the boss on Thursday morning, and he actually wanted to argue about it. We're playing him highlights.
And it is picked off.
He's like, no, I don't hear it. What? Stop it.
It is picked off by Miles Jack.
I mean, like, we're instead just recording the play-by-play off TV in our living room somewhere. Yeah, not even that good. I'd rather hear Tony Romo make funny noises than listen to highlights in an echo chamber where it sounds like it's just someone sitting in his living room somewhere with a handheld recorder making a tape, making a play-by-play tape. Anyway, the boss tried to argue with us, so we're about to inundate him all with emails until they figure out something's wrong. So yeah, technology can suck sometimes. And it did, in fact, annoy me. And then I didn't make dinner, so I had to have popcorn for, you know, for my last meal of the day. Although it wasn't terrible. It was very buttery. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you for caring. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got our poll up. Which game are you most looking forward to this weekend? I know there are more than four games. Right now, though, these particular games seem to be ones in which there is a lot of interest. Plus, we like to make sure we spread out the games. I can't stand it when we're picking all games from the right side of the country. And so we've got a rematch of the AFC Championship between the Patriots and the Jaguars. And as I was listening to Jalen Ramsey over the course of the last couple of days, I wondered, is this actually trash talking or is he just talking? We know when he gets on the field, he's a trash talker. At the very least, he's a trash talker with Odell Beckham Jr. Haters! So he does like to talk. I just don't know if we'd consider him an elite trash talker. And then I started to wonder, who are the elite trash talkers in sports? Now, sometimes we don't get to know, right? We don't always know who the best trash talkers are because sometimes they're really... they're kind of mild-mannered away from the field or the court or the ice. But then you get them in the midst of the emotion and the action, and all of a sudden something flips, a switch just flips. For instance, this is a funny story. I once was covering a tennis tournament. I was an MC and was working a tennis tournament in which John McEnroe was playing. And so as part of my responsibilities, I not only had to introduce him and the other opponents when they came on the court, but I also had to interview the winners when the matches were over. And I was so nervous because McEnroe was one of my favorites all time, my favorite athletes forever. I used to love to watch him play as a kid, and I still love to watch him in exhibitions. And so I was really nervous, but the interview went well. He made a couple of jokes and, you know, he was fine. And then later, because the tournament director knew I was such a big fan, she put me at the table next to him for dinner. And do you know, the guy was more concerned about getting the raspberry vinaigrette dressing on his white pants than he was at all about anything that happened on the tennis court. And the guy who yells, "You cannot be serious," that guy was nowhere to be found. Sometimes athletes get into a mode and they just kind of lose their minds a little bit. He's not the first. He definitely wasn't the last. And so you could have mild-mannered Clark Kent turn into a Superman of trash talking once they get on the field. And I'm not sure Jalen Ramsey is that. But I do enjoy when he puffs himself and the team up a lot pregame. We've also got the Vikings and the Packers. We don't know if Aaron Rodgers will play yet. The Raiders and the Broncos in the AFC West. There's always going to be some intrigue this year with John Gruden and minus Khalil Mack. And then the Giants and Cowboys on Sunday night. Which is the game you're most looking forward to? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.